Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Momentarily, we'll talk with Tom Fitton. Just wanted to clarify what Dan and I were saying there, Dan, because we want Al Schmidt on the show so we can have a conversation because there are a lot of questions out there. And DJ is the one that would get paid to get him on the show. That's exactly what we were talking about. I don't want any, because...
Are you getting questions about it?
No, I just want to...
Just be clear. Yeah.
Yeah, I see what he went through in 2020.
Yes, that's
true. And even though I completely differed with how he conducted himself, he should have allowed us to see the votes. The threats that he got and all, they should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
And you always offer the utmost respect to anybody who might differ even slightly with you. So yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's something like this, though. If we duke it out, it's going to be back and forth on the issues. That's all. Okay, so Al, come on the show. Stop it already. You're looking ridiculous saying he can't do it till after the election. All right? Then the next day, once the votes are out there and all, well, I'm too busy then. Okay, well. All right, Tom Fitton is one of our favorites all time. Hasn't been on in a while from Judicial Watch. They do work that nobody else does. His new book, Rights and Freedom in Peril, is a journey through some of the biggest things we're talking about, including election integrity, the border, January 6th. Tom joins us here in Philadelphia again on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Tom, thanks for coming back, and thanks for the book. Great look at some of the biggest issues we're facing.
Yeah, thank you, Dom. I appreciate it. And I don't like to go back through the book again because it's too upsetting.
Well, you guys are upsetting, though, to the other side. I mean, how many Freedom of Information Acts can one group file and be successful on and follow up with? How many do you do in a year, would you think, at Judicial Watch?
We do thousands every year. And we can only do a small fraction of that in terms of litigation, but, nevertheless, it means we're the number one litigator under the Freedom of Information Act. In Pennsylvania, the state law is literally the right to know law. And, as a result, we have an insight in the way government operates, and we get secrets they don't want us to know about. And on all the topics we're talking about, of course, we have much more aggressive litigation as well, where we sue government and states and such to get them to obey the law. I mean, we had a big case against Pennsylvania, and they settled with us over voter roll cleanups up there. So your state has cleaner voting rolls thanks to our lawsuits.
Yeah, I think Joe Frazier still might be on the voting rolls, though. We got to get that one off. I have to check this year's version of it. Tom, in the book, first thing I'd like to talk about, because I really agree with this, it's a good insight. When you talk about the border, why in the world have an open border? Why would Democrats do that? Could be a lot of reasons. Would you say it's fair to say in the book, though, you come down to they're trying to pad the census in states that might, districts that might be closed, redistricting and all that stuff. And I guess eventually think by hook or by crook, they're going to get these people to be citizens and or even if they're not, vote somehow or another.
Yeah, if those non-citizens who invaded in the last few years, for instance, are not removed in the next few years, they're going to be counted under the census. And that means places like Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Democratic, largely Democratic states, or in the case of Pennsylvania, I know it's a close run thing. They're going to benefit from those individuals being there, meaning they will have more seats in Congress as a result. They may have literally less citizens, but more seats in Congress because the non-citizens are counted. And not only does that mean they have more power in Congress, it means that when it comes to presidential elections, they have electoral votes that they benefit from. They either get to keep votes they otherwise might lose or have increased power in the Electoral College. And now there are states like Florida and Texas that are going to have large immigrant populations, too. So It does help some Republican states. But any fair-minded analysis will conclude, based on the numbers, that we're talking about 20, 25 seats that are likely to be in reliable Democrat states as a result of this invasion in Congress, in the House.
Yeah, that is often a margin that you just can't do anything about, and it grows. As far as election integrity, you talk about that and this particular election in the book, Rights and Freedom in Peril. What is it that keeps you up at night as a guy on the cutting edge of this around election integrity as we're 30 days out, Tom?
Well, obviously, you've got the mass mailing of ballots to lists that are dirty. You know, we've done a lot of litigation on that. We've cleaned up 4 million names from the rolls just in the last 2 years. California, Pennsylvania, even New York City and here in D.C. But there's still too many dirty names on the rolls. And then to me, the biggest issue in 2020, and I do think it's going to be an issue in 2024, is the counting of ballots that arrive after Election Day and, frankly, just post-Election Day counting generally. And in 2020, President Trump had the votes to win on Election Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come midnight, he was the winner. And those vote totals changed as a result of unprecedented counting in these swing states. Counting that I would submit is in violation of the law. Federal law says you got to pick your electors on Election Day. And I'm sorry, but when you're A, accepting ballots that arrive after Election Day, it's obvious violation of the law. And I would argue counting ballots for days after the election makes a mockery of the rule of law as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the upside, Tom, do you share my view, and I'm not there on the ground, that Georgia has really tightened up Kemp and his machine, but also those reforms they put in Georgia, Fulton County? You should have a good shot this time around at getting the right result as far as what people actually voted.
Maybe. But if in one county there's a holdup in the counting of ballots, who knows? I mean, you know, I've seen two or three stories in the Washington Post telling, you know, trying to prep the battlefield, saying, for instance, in Pennsylvania, we may not know for days who won. As if that's normal and right and lawful and in accord with any concept of election integrity. You know, the country of France can figure out who won the presidency in one day. Why can't the state of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's the Secretary of State, Tom, who can't come on this show until after Election Day, and then probably not that either, setting the battlefield here. I'm predicting the over and under. It would probably be Thursday night at the best that Pennsylvania has done, at the worst, into the weekend.
Unacceptable. And, you know, to me, depending on what the outcome is and what it accords with, you know, what people are comfortable with in terms of who they think should have won, given the outcomes in other jurisdictions, it really compromises the final outcome in the minds of individual voters. And frankly, this is another opportunity for Congress to take steps, for the legislatures to take steps. I mean, we can't have elections continuously compromised in this country. We just can't have it. We're going to lose our country. And, you know, talk about rights and freedoms in peril. If your right to vote doesn't mean anything, what does that mean for the whole concept of a Republican form of government and self-government? And I'm sorry, but having elections that begin weeks before Election Day and really never, that's not a normal election. That's a rolling survey that has as much credibility as a poll.
Exactly. Tom, in your book, you jump into January 6th, I think, in a very unique and reasonable way. Same thing I try to do. The investigation now, the AG's office being held up by the Department of Justice, because it's not saying that the FBI definitively triggered this, but we have a right to know how many assets were involved, exactly what they were doing, any communications around that. So talk about in the book, Rights and Freedom in Peril. And Tom, the book is available next week.
Yeah, it comes out the 15th, but you know, now with the internet, you can order it and set it and forget it, and it'll get to you on the 15th. So go online now and take it.
Give me your take on January 6th and where we are.
I think it was a First Amendment-related protest that got out of hand because of lack of security, a willful lack of security by anti-Trumpers in Washington, D.C., in the various agencies, and in Congress. And, you know, one of the key things that we took away from January 6th is, well, who was the only homicide victim that day? Ashley Babbitt, killed by Lieutenant Michael Byrd, then, you know, Capitol Hill police officer. And, you know, we've all seen officer-involved shootings. We've all been educated about what the processes are. None of that was applied for Ashley. We didn't know who his name was until months after January 6th. He was provided, and this is in the book, accommodations at Andrews Air Force Base, or Joint Base Andrews now. The general quarters were in the hotel on the base for 6 months.
And
ask one of your colleagues, your friends in the Philly Police Department, whether they'd get a hotel room for 6 months if they were involved in an officer-involved shooting.
Yeah, exactly right. So, Tom, favorite part of the book? Is there another part of the book you'd point us to? Those are the ones that really jumped out at me. What else would we find in the book?
Well, you know what? You're going to love the part, your listeners, about Joe Biden and his crazy dogs.
You know, of course.
You know, and to be serious, his dogs bit 25 Secret Service agents.
Wow.
And if you want to know why the Secret Service is a mess, read that chapter. It's going to knock your socks off.
Yeah, that is. What's the biggest reform, Judicial Watch? What has to be done with the Secret Service other than the people at top? Even the rank and file, you know, there was bravery protecting Trump and all that. But it doesn't strike me, even the rank and file, Tom, are anywhere near what they used to be, or at least what I perceive them to be.
You know, it's like every other deep state agency. They're intensely political and ideological and compromised at the same time. So you've got this competence and corruption issue, right? And then you've got this DEI overlay where all communications every day in every way we just uncovered. I don't think we made it into the book because it was after we had written it. That was the Secret Service motto when it comes to DEI. And I don't think these agencies are redeemable in their current form. It's kind of like a whole of agency approach and reform that I don't see too many people in this town willing to engage in. Some of the agencies, like the FBI and Justice Department, I don't think are redeemable in their current form.
Without a doubt. Tom, Rights and Freedom in Peril, available. Is there a website to go to? Go to Judicial Watch. You can order it there. Where do you go?
Yeah, judicialwatchbook.com. And, you know, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the booksellers right now. So everyone can get a preview copy. I tell you, get copies for your friends and families. I'm not just saying that because I'm the writer. It's a Judicial Watch book. It's the book America needs right now. It really is.
Tom, thank you. As always, great work. And thank you. Come back before or after the election anytime we can get you.
Tom, I appreciate it. These book interviews are going to kill me because I get so angry about what's going on. But there's a way forward, and we got to do it.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
Tom Fitt and Judicial Watch, they do tremendous work, a lot of insight on election integrity. Notice where he went, Pennsylvania. Yeah, why are they saying, we can't possibly be anywhere near it, using the excuse that Democrats want to get rid of that provision that says, no, you're not going to open up those mail-in ballots. We know why they want to do that. They want to say they have a big lead. Why even show up and vote? So no, just count better. Machinery, people. Expertise. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Coming to your calls. Don't forget the side question today in dishonor of the Mets fans. Somebody or something that deserves its reputation. Usually negative, but if it's a great reputation, you could say, yeah, I give you one. Mr. Rogers, by all accounts, deserved his reputation. There are positive ones out there of people that deserve that. John Middleton, his reputation of being an owner that Philadelphia loves because he wants to win. I'm there an hour listening to him talking to a random fan, seeing him take pictures with everybody, even deflecting DJs back and forth with him on trades and all. I think DJ traded three quarters of the team around that.
Yeah, he really changed and saved his reputation, because when he first took over, he's kind of tepid, kind of spend, and then he realized, like, what are owners remembered for? They're remembered for winning, not for making money. And that's exactly what he's done since then.
Yeah, exactly.
Changed his frame of thinking.
855. Well, I don't know who the most popular owner is right now. I don't think it's Jeffrey Lurie. We don't even see who owns the Flyers. I mean, I know who
Dan Hilford
is.
He'll be up there soon, too.
You think so?
Absolutely. With the moves they've made and where they're going, yeah, I think they'll be up there soon.
And Josh Harris? Oh my God. No.
Not
all. All right. And I don't think of the other teams. I'm trying to think of some of the other ownership. Minor, too minor to know. The Union and all that. I don't even count that. All right, 855-839-1210, though. Do get in today. 1:30, if all goes according to plan, I think we're going to be on Starlink or something. This guy that Dan became friendly with, we had him on a lot when East Palestine was really hot. This is the guy that was covering it right there in the streets. Remember that? The train collision, Biden not going. He's in North Carolina now. And what's going on there? Is amazing what people are telling us, the lack of response by the federal government, by Kamala Harris, Biden, etc. Will it affect voting, though, in North Carolina as far as the ability to vote? All that straight ahead. Talk Radio 12 Tap. All right, Bruce Springsteen offering his endorsement in a Jersey diner. Of course, not on his gazillion-dollar farm where he gets tax breaks.
Pancakes.
Not at... Not at the dressage that his daughter does around the world. I guess she's still doing that. Not at his billion-dollar sale of his portfolio. All right, here's what he said. And the point with Springsteen is, I can't tell if he actually has influence of any sort. Now, I know there's a camp of people who believe that no endorsement works. I'm not in that camp. I'm not sure that his endorsement, though, is going to move voters toward Kamala Harris. Here's what he said.
Hi, I'm Bruce Springsteen.
Now, is that really him speaking?
Yeah, and he's in a diner, but a cup of coffee, I think, somewhere there. Yeah,
this is verifiably Bruce Springsteen. Yeah.
Yes,
it is.
It's not AI.
Yeah.
Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections.
Oh, it's so fake.
And with full knowledge that my opinion's no more or less important than those of any of my fellow citizens, here's my answer.
Nobody talks like this.
Kamala Harris for president and Tim Walz for...
I'm sorry.
Well, let's hear him a little bit more. Please, give us a chance here.
So fake that nobody talks like this.
He's been performing 4 hours a night every show.
That's not what it is.
Years.
He's putting on an act.
I think that's his voice.
Here's my answer. I'm supporting Kamala Harris for president and Tim Walz for vice president and opposing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Here's why. We are shortly coming upon one of the most consequential elections in our nation's history.
Oh, come on.
Perhaps not since the Civil War.
He has an accent now?
Has this great country felt as politically, spiritually, and emotionally divided as it does then at this moment? It doesn't have to be this way.
Okay, let's stop there. Now, I think we have to do a better job. The thing I wanted to call out in this, other than all the affectations, is this. We are going to be divided. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying to kill each other. How in the world are we, if it's Kamala Harris, how in the world are we not going to be divided? She's not going to govern from any kind of magical center. There's going to be division, and there's nothing wrong. We differ with the point of view of Walz, Harris. We differ with progressives. We differ with Democrats. What are we coming together to do? Why would we do that? We are going to be divided. If they win, which I don't see reasonable shot that they are at this point, if they did win, we're going to oppose them because we know exactly what they're about and what they want to do. We know exactly what she has stood for. So there's no magical middle. Now, if the person in endorsement said, look, I think we can do better as far as we might agree on a thing here. One of those type of endorsements. But the outrage of saying this is all due to Trump and this division. There's nothing as divisive as where the Democrats want to take the country, because they don't. The point I come to every election, Obama started this, but he was more mild in presentation. All we ever want to do as Americans is get better, meaning tweak the country. We don't want to change it, because fundamentally it's correct. It works. It's the best system ever. It's divinely inspired. That's the only way you can explain it. So all we have to do is to do better at it, and fundamentally, by extension, in small gulps, continue to make it better. Tweak it. That's not what they want to do. They oppose traditional America. They see traditional America and what goes on as wrong. They fundamentally want to gut the Constitution and many of the things that, and that's their point of view. They have a right to it. So, Dan, that's the part that I go off on here rather than his voice and the whole preposterous part of this. And I was asking Henry when you were in the soundproof room, I waited until you went in there with Dawn, about the idea of how long can people go? What I think they get is they get nostalgia. They've gone forever. They want to keep on adding to the number of times they see him. But they can't possibly think the storyline, the narrative is genuine and not fraudulent. And Henry's parents, how many times have they been gone, Henry?
Probably at least once a year for the last few years.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's it. But, you know, what did they say when, you know, the message, the middle class under fire, these Tank Towns jersey, when he did dynamic pricing with Ticketmaster? I mean, it's one thing to be a capitalist, but if your narrative is what he purports, you can't be charging those type of prices, right? I mean, I don't want to put your parents in the docket. I'm just saying.
Well, our resident Bruce expert says, oh boy, this is Anne-Marie Muldoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has zero influence with most fans.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what everybody says with these endorsements. Guess what? I don't buy that. It all adds up. It's a game of inches. People think because Springsteen says it in an endorsement, people are going to go and vote for Harris. What it does is a game of inches. When you have endorser after endorser say something, people start to think, yeah, I don't know, maybe Harris isn't that bad. It's not a ringing endorsement. I don't know anybody that has the power. It seems to me that Taylor Swift's endorsement has not moved the needle as much as I thought it might. But we'll know in election time, Dan, if these women who never vote suddenly come out because of abortion and Taylor Swift, then it's going to move the needle. So, Henry, do you have any more? I didn't want to put your parents on the docket here with this, but I'm interested why people still go and see it, because I get the physicality. I don't know if I get art here anymore, because it's a fraudulent message to me.
Yeah, and that's like I said earlier, I think they can separate, you know, his message from the music.
Okay.
And yeah, he just puts on a good show and
okay.
It's not going to sway their vote, I don't think.
I don't mean vote, but I have trouble when I think the narrative is in the beginning with what he did when he was coming up, you could argue the narrative wasn't fraudulent. I could see enjoying him and continuing to do it. I witnessed him when he did the 10-day, 21-gun salute to John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back in 2004, I covered it.
Yeah, and I also think it'd be a little different if he was still putting out music, kind of like he was, you know, like 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Still, you know, with that same message, it'd be different. But since, you know, when he did put out that music, that was what he was. Now it's okay. I don't see the big issue.
So it's the rhythm of the song, the music, the experience of that. People are not saying, oh, yeah, I agree with his narrative here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Dan, any more or your zanks cured, Darius?
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
I know. That's why we waited till you were in the room.
I just, like, where I really think it comes down to Bruce and the suburban, you know, love for him in New Jersey is it's a status symbol at this point for a lot of people. They're like, oh, I went to the Bruce concert last week and, you know, were you there?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if they're really listening to his politics as much anymore.
Okay. 855-839-1210. You get on board AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push #1210. We'll get you in. Hit us on the side question, too, which is somebody who deserves their reputation. All right. We're going to go, hopefully, to North Carolina with this guy that we met, Nick Sorter, East Palestine. He was the guy right there, and it took a lot of guts to be in the middle of God knows what could happen to you. He's in North Carolina. What are Biden and Harris thinking? These are two swing states, Georgia and North Carolina. And I think it's a fair estimation to say they're not moving heaven and earth to help people. They're shutting people down or trying to help. What are they thinking politically? And their argument is you're making that up. I don't think we're making it up. We're going to go to the belly of the beast with Nick Sorter next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. So this guy, Nick Sorter, that we've worked with before, really is in difficult areas trying to establish contact with him. And Dan, it underlines, when we do, we'll get him on.
Yep.
Somebody called in Georgia, and I said, I'm not sure. Next big Republican we get on, like Whatley, I'm sure they're on top of this. How are they going to get people to vote in these ravaged areas of North Carolina? Maybe a bit into Georgia. These are red. This is Trump area. But the overall net impact of this is political malpractice. You know, I don't care what the Harris campaign says, we're making it up. They don't have the money. They don't have the overwhelming resources. Mayorkas has even said this. We know they've spent a lot of it on illegal immigrants. That's what it comes down to. That's fact. It's not made up. They shouldn't have been involved in that. Now they want Congress to come back somehow or another and give them more money. FEMA, we're talking about. FEMA is not an organization I would be relying on either. Remember them in Katrina? Now it's George Bush. Remember the guy he put in charge? The idiocy of that in New Orleans? He used to run Arabian horse fairs.
Sorter's calling in about 2 minutes, Dom.
Stuff like that. So, you know, FEMA ought to be this. It's another organization that screwed up, kind of like the Secret Service. There's going to be a price to pay in North Carolina. I think Trump was going to win it anyhow. All right, Dan, you have breaking news, though, on all this hurricane stuff in North Carolina from Nancy Mace.
Yeah, I actually got this from Nick Sorter, so this is probably what he's sorting out right now. He says he's got caught up. He's going to be calling us in about 2 minutes. But Nancy Mace just released this. This is out to Congress session. It's a bill that she's introduced. It says, beginning on the date of the enactment of this act, no federal funds are authorized to be appropriated or otherwise made available to the Shelter and Services Program of the Federal Emergency Management Agency as in effect on the day before such date of enactment or to any successor or similar program, Section 2, Transfer of Appropriations, then unobligated balances of all amounts appropriate or otherwise made available to the Shelter and Services Program of the Federal Emergency Management Agency as of the day before the date of the enactment of this act shall be transferred to and merged with amounts otherwise made available for necessary expenses to carry out the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, in reference to what's going on down there in the hurricane relief efforts.
So the bottom line is what here with all that?
She's writing a bill essentially enforcing an act there through that we're going to divert these funds that's being used for the sheltering of these migrants and put it towards this disaster relief effort.
We have Eric Trump on this before we go to Nick Sorter. He was on Fox, I believe. And Henry, do you know that one? Yeah, here it is.
Got it.
Cut 16. Here's what Eric Trump said about that.
By the way, any of you out there want to trust your government when it comes to hurricane victims? Stayed away for a week and he was president? If your father, you know, put funds that were designed for FEMA and the American people for emergency relief and gave it to, you know, other groups, could you, he'd be handcuffed, fingerprinted, put in jail, they'd throw away the key.
Sean, right now there are 157 hotels in New York City that are completely full of illegal immigrants. Let me just repeat that number. 150 hotels in New York City that are completely full of illegal immigrants. New York City alone spends over $1 billion a year on illegal immigrants. And then you see these pictures of husbands and wives and children who have lost everything. Their homes have floated down rivers. Their homes have been taken out by mudslides. Their vehicles are gone. Their picture albums are destroyed. Every sentimental value that they could ever possibly imagine is gone. You know, will never be brought back. And what does Kamala do? She comes out and offers $750. $750. The TV in the person's house costs more than $750. And you see the absolute destruction. Sean, of all the political things that I've seen in the last decade, This is the one that bothers me the most.
Okay, Henry, thank you. Thanks. That's Eric Trump, 157 hotels. We've seen, and maybe Cardinal Dolan will have something to say about this. Let's go to our friend in the wilderness all the time. Great journalism. Nick Sorter is with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Nick, welcome back. I wanted to tell listeners you were the hero of East Palestine for us. Where are you and what's on your mind today in Carolina?
You know, I am out here in Anka, North Carolina. There are so many small towns that dot the western North Carolina region. You know, it's not just Asheville. That's what everybody, you know, they when they think of western North Carolina, they're thinking of Asheville. That is not the case. Asheville did not feel even, you know, not even 50% of what these small towns are feeling out here. And so we've been going around and reconnecting them using Starlink. We've been doing, I was here the first day. I was the first one that set it up at the hotel where the first responders were staying, because even first responders aren't able to communicate with each other. They have to use Starlink. They're using them now to communicate with each other. Like we've had a police escort going around the region here, you know, to get around the roadblocks and such. It makes it a lot easier, and we can, you know, push through into areas which typically would not be accessible. And they are communicating with each other. We have three units. All of them are using the Starlink that's mounted in the windshield of my vehicle in order to communicate.
Well, what is Starlink, Nick Sorter, and how does it work?
So Starlink is basically, it's Elon Musk's company.
Right.
Where there is a massive satellite constellation. I think there's about 6,000 satellites now. And you can get internet from practically anywhere that you can see the sky. So we can go up into the mountains. We're an hour away from a city center at this point, and you have full-on Wi-Fi that's faster than what you would even get from your cable company. And all it is a satellite receiver.
Wait a minute, Nick. We have Comcast versus Starlink. Let me think here.
I think a lot of the pushback against Starlink comes from these big companies like Comcast and such. These are so nervous because this is a new technology that's going to...
And the Russians. Comes from the Russians, too.
Yeah, sure.
So, Nick, is it overstating it to say the people you've come across feel that they're, in many regards, not being protected by their government, not helped out, not getting a leg up?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. You know, keep in mind that Asheville is pretty liberal, right? That's the liberal dot, the blue dot. That's right in the middle of big red western North Carolina. And everybody there that I've spoken with, you know, I've talked to people that are like, you know, full-on almost Bernie-type people, and even they're pissed off at what's going on with the government. They've lost all hope. And, you know, I think it was a wake-up call for a lot of people realizing that the government is not on your side. They're not your friends. They're not here to help us. They're here to help themselves and make themselves look good. So the tactic that the Biden regime, the Biden-Kamala regime has been using mostly out here is cover it up. Stop talking about it. You know, if you notice, a lot of the times when if Biden or Kamala talk about this situation at all, they won't mention, you know, western North Carolina. They won't mention Asheville and such. They're trying to make people not realize that the Katrina-level catastrophe that just happened here. And, you know, the fact that they're not even trying to reconnect these small-town fire departments and people like me, some random guy from Twitter is going around doing it and reconnecting thousands of people, that tells you all you need to know.
It's a national show. Nick, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you do this. In East Palestine, you're in the middle of stuff that I've done a lot of stuff, but I'd be scared to death there in the beginning about the toxic dangers. Now you're in the middle of this, and you're right, a one-man band reconnecting people. So, Nick, how are these people going to vote? What is it on the ground that's going to happen as far as polling places or by mail or whatever? This is a critical area of North Carolina.
You know, I've started to, the first few days I was here, that was not even a topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's more and more people are starting to realize that, hey, you know, we're not even allowed back into our towns. We're not allowed to, you know, our towns don't have power. They may not have power for months. They definitely won't have running water for months, if not a year. And so they're probably going to have to leave the area. They're not even going to be able to vote. And how do you vote by mail You know, they don't have a permanent address. They can't have stuff sent to some random address. You can't have your ballot sent somewhere random. So these people are, they're now questioning, like, okay, I'm not going to be able to vote. And if you take all these Western North Carolina votes out of the equation, you're gonna end up, you know, flipping North Carolina blue. You know, Asheville, I guarantee you, they're going to find a way to make sure all the Democrats in Asheville can vote. There's no way they won't allow that to happen.
And Governor Cooper, I'm sure there is some, oh, that's the least of our worries. We're trying to get people back together. He was almost the VP choice. So, Nick, what can we do here in Philadelphia? You're always the point person in these things. First of all, where do people follow Nick Sorter on Twitter?
Well, it's just at Nick Sorter. That's NickSorter. And, you know, really what we need to keep people talking about it. That's what we need. We need to keep the media attention on it, because the more we hold the regime's feet to the fire, the more they're forced to do. But as we know, with East Palestine, and I was also on Maui for the fires out there, as soon as the media attention goes away, the government response, just whatever response it is going away too. They're not going to dedicate any resources to an area where they're not being held accountable for it. And that's what I'm worried about happening here. You know, when I got here, there was no media here at all. And I was shocked. I mean, I essentially had to, you know, I'll just go ahead and say it, you know, do something to me, I guess. But I didn't come in here legally, right? I had to find my way in. But if I didn't find my way in, I'm telling you right now, the what we're seeing with the Starlinks and the amount of people talking about reconnecting these towns, that conversation may not have even happened. That's the issue, because they were telling everybody not to come in, that you weren't allowed in, and they were going to arrest you if you came in. But I'm telling, the state troopers were super thankful that we came in here and did this. So, and I'm glad we did.
Nick,
we took that risk, and it worked out.
We know in East Palestine why Biden didn't want to go there, then became more arrogant. They sent Mayor Pete, et cetera. In the middle of this election, with these two critical states, in Georgia, some of these problems, and right next door, this is political malpractice. You at least have to pretend that you're doing stuff. So does it tell me, other than the character of Harris and Biden, particularly Biden in this, that FEMA just doesn't have the resources they've spent it on things like, I don't know, illegal immigrants? Is that what is not getting people help?
Well, you know, if they have resources, they ain't here. I'll tell you that much. I don't know where they are. I haven't seen FEMA. I haven't seen a single person from FEMA out here at all. And I've traveled thousands of miles in the past 7 days all across Western North Carolina, and I haven't seen a single FEMA asset. Not one.
Wow.
And so Biden's trying to say that, oh, well, all the resources have been deployed. There's no more left to give. Where are they? Where are they? Nobody can answer that question for me. And I know that a lot of the stuff they're putting out is propaganda, because I had – so Biden tweeted out saying that he reconnected a fire station with Starlink the other day, very, very specifically said a specific fire location. And that fire chief saw the tweet, and he texted me just lambasting Joe Biden, saying that he lied. He literally – you guys set this up here. He didn't set it up. He's lying. So even the resources that they are saying have been deployed – they're lying about it. It's absurd.
Yeah. Nick, you are such a great – we got to meet you in person. I mean, I don't know how you came about to us in East Palestine. Again, tell listeners where they can find you, and we want an update on Monday, Nick, if you can. I'll put you on hold here in a second. Where can we find you on Twitter?
So you can find me on Twitter at Nick Sorter, NickSorter. Best place for me.
All right, Nick, I'll put you on hold and I'll let the guys schedule you and get you an update on Monday to see where this goes. Fox reporting that active duty troops are being sent into Western Carolina at this point. It ought to shock people, and I'm sure in North Carolina, the people not being helped, it's going to impact voting if they can vote. So we'll try to get you by Monday. The voting, critical swing state, same thing with Georgia. Coming up, Dan's got something in Dan Time with Dom today from Minnie, I believe.
This is awesome.
That's pretty
man.
Good
it's
stuff.
Pretty
I saw
cool
it on
stuff.
Twitter. Yep. All right. So let's talk about if you're tired of relying on caffeine for a quick energy fix. That's okay occasionally. There's a better way, though, to revitalize your body from within. Introducing Orasine by Rescue Natural Supplements. This is the cellular energizer that helps your body produce its own natural fuel. Say goodbye to daily fatigue and hello to lasting energy. As a bonus, Orasine supports heart health and optimal blood pressure. That's why you can't miss out on this exclusive radio offer. Buy one bottle of Orasine, get another absolutely free. Simply use the code FUEL when you place your order. Call today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use the code online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Be sure to use that code FUEL, F-U-E-L, for this buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Orasine. Remember, use the code FUEL at res-q.com.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Stan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan Time with Dom. And Dom, we have a debut to announce. So coming up next, we have Garrison Lovely. He's a columnist for the New York Times. He writes for Jacobin, a couple different magazines. And what he does is he has a lot of warnings about the dangers of AI. And we were talking the Easy Pass yesterday and automation and such and how that's really becoming a problem in the economy. So he's going to be coming up here at 2. But I want to offer a counter argument for some benefits of AI. You know, this one is actually kind of on the fence for me from a moral perspective, because being in the kind of arts field, the whole idea of computers making music is scary to me. But it's just kind of beautiful, too. It kind of almost brought a tear to my eye, I gotta say. Minnie down in Texas, one of our regular listeners, youtube.com/@12WPHD, a commenter on there, she used a service called Suno. And Suno is an AI service where you enter a prompt, and it's a 200-word prompt, and she essentially said Dom Giordano, Philadelphia Radio, Texas, she wanted in there, producers, Henry Dan, and AI completely generated a song, and here's the debut of that song, presenting Talking with Dom, given to us by Minnie and AI. Take a listen.
Very Texas.
It is, but I love it.
Dom lights up the room with his smile, keeping us laughing for a while. He's got that charm and he knows it well. Every story he's got to tell.
This is a computer singing, Dom.
Can't tell if it's male or female here. What do you say?
They.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, New Jersey, shouting lines. In Texas, too, the love does grow. Tune in close and feel.
Better than Springsteen.
Might be, actually.
I maybe you'll endorse Trump.
Home's the best host you could ever hear.
How does Minnie know how to do
Dan
this?
Dan and Henry making magic near. They got the vibe that we all crave. Playing tunes that elevate.
So it's kind of cool you can do something like this, right?
Might have to put that in as a theme song, since some maniac out there doesn't like my theme music at the beginning, which I certainly do. Minnie, thank you. What a gift of her goodwill and the artistry, Dan, of the stuff that she does. Is it that easy to do this?
It's crazy to me. That's a fact. Like, going to AI and how scary right. It is. We're talking something that should take emotion, art, that kind of thing. And bringing emotion like this just from a 200-word prompt is where we're at.
Where it's come, AI's gone in the last 2 years is scary. Yeah, it's gone so fast.
And like, the music's good. Like, there's even a solo here. I want you to listen to the solo, and then there's a breakdown, right. And it kind of gets even more emotion. Take a listen.
Friday Night Lights.
Listeners know they truly care. From Philly streets to Houston air, they're the heartbeats of our day. Keep those blues from staying gray.
Amazing. And the guy we have coming up sees real danger here. This came up because of the longshoremen and automation this week. And I have one that brings it all down home, and I know Henry's in agreement with me. Not sure about Dan and you. This movement, and it could happen in a year or two, right? I know they're trying it out, to have computers actually umpire Major League Baseball. Stunning.
I like what they're doing in the minor leagues with that, where you can challenge a call, I think, twice a game.
Right.
And it has to be immediate. Like, you can't look to the dugout, like a ball or strike call. You can't look to the dugout and go, Was that, should I challenge that? You have to know immediately, and you have to point and be like, hey, I want to challenge that right now. So I think that's where it's going to be first, and hopefully that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's actually a good idea, but yeah, no, I don't want any umpires.
No, part of the game is knowing the art of how to work the ump, what he's calling that day, how to work him, and psychologically how to work a referee or an umpire.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So no, I'm against it. Dan, you against it?
I'm not against innovation, Dom. Progress, innovation.
Oh, yeah, progress. Progress. Mm-mm. Man, Dan will have everybody in the world.
You're the guy pouring the water out on the fire because we can't progress past fire.
Oh, you know? Conservative lecture again. All right. We're going to talk with Garrison Lovely, who wrote this piece, Laws Need to Catch Up to Artificial Intelligence's Unique Risk. And the longshoreman made sort of a point this week. Are we going to go down that path? That's AI, Dan. Nice illustration there. Many thank you, too. We'll talk next. And Dom's Money Melody. Maybe Scott Presler with a little update, too.
He's confirmed, yeah.
He's confirmed. We want to give him his kudos today for what he did. And, Dan, while you were away, Henry tells me that Al Schmidt's office got back to him. The Secretary of State, we said, okay, he can't come on before the election, up to the election. I immediately said, okay. What about the day after the election? Henry, what was the response?
Yeah, so in the response to that, it was simply, hey, Henry, the secretary won't be available at that time.
Okay.
How do you know that?
Now, if we want to continue with this, I'm thinking about it. I don't want to be accused of harassing the guy, although I'm a media type and I'm just asking him. I would just, my next thing, I may send it to myself. Please tell us when he will be available.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the next logical follow-up.
That is. You know what? We ought to ask AI to send a treaty to Al Schmidt to see if he'll come on.
We can do that.
Big 2 o'clock hour. No, don't do that. You probably
You are able to, you know, get these kind of problems.
855.
Write me an essay to Al Schmidt about coming on the Dom Giordano.
855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.